So today we have Jewel in the house. She's from Touch of Jewel Events, and she started in 2009. She's done over 120 weddings so far. She has her certificate in wedding and event planning. She also started the TOJ Bridal Expo, which is a multicultural bridal expo targeted towards multicultural brides and grooms. She's spoken at different places like the Frisco ISD, spoken to high school kids and mentored them and answered their questions about the industry and everything about it. So Jewel is here today. And Jewel, tell me, you're very fascinating in the sense that you started all the way in 2009 and you're here today, and now you're mentoring kids. So tell me, how's that journey been?
It's been, I want to say it's been great. It has definitely been great. It's also been challenging as well. You know, it's not been a smooth and easy road, but I'm very grateful for all the opportunities that have come my way since I started out in 2009. And starting out was just, it was just a hobby. You know, I was very good. You know, my organization skills were very good. While I was in college, I was that, you know, designated party planner for college parties and things like that. So, you know, when my friends kind of started to get married, it was just a no-brainer to help them in the process. But little did I know that that would in turn blow into a career of, you know, choice that I'm now, you know, that's the path I'm now taking. So it's definitely been an interesting journey, let's just say.
Yeah. With the MBA conference, you want to tell us about that?
So the Wedding MBA is an annual conference that brings together a lot of wedding industry professionals. And it's targeted towards literally any vendor in the wedding industry, and not just planners. So from your planners to DJs, photographers, videographers, and it's done a couple of times a year. One of the great things about, you know, being in this industry is there's so many opportunities, so many learning experiences that are granted to us. And so I make it a point of duty every year to invest in myself, invest in my business, and attend, you know, one of these conferences. And through a lot of conferences that I've attended, I've had the opportunity to meet with some amazing, amazing people in the industry, people that I have absolutely adored and just looked up to, and, you know, closely watched their brand to see how I can better my brand. And a couple of those people are, you know, Preston Bailey, Ella B. You know, I had a chance to sit with Preston Bailey, and I would have never thought that I would, you know, in my career. But just spending about 10 minutes with him, discussing, you know, it was just a very casual conversation. You know, hi, how are you? What is your name? What do you do? And I had a chance to tell him a little bit about me, my business, a couple of the challenges I was facing at the time, and just the few words that he, you know, spoke to me, a few advice that he gave to me, definitely was something that I took back to, you know, add to my business, and, you know, just things that have really shaped and helped better myself, and also helped me look at, you know, the planning industry in a completely different, you know, way. And one of the things that I, you know, vividly remember is, you know, talking about, you know, your purpose and your passion. And a lot of times as creatives in this industry, we're driven so much by passion. You know, we want to satisfy our clients. You know, we want to go above and beyond. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with doing that. But if you just allow the passion to drive you, you are going to get burnt out one day. You know, you can't keep doing everything because, you know, you absolutely love to do it. So there has to be a balance, you know, between, you know, first of all, discovering your purpose and then having a passion for what you do. And it's got to make sense financially, you know. I mean, it's one thing to do a business as a hobby, but it is a business to bring you some income. So if your passion and, you know, the income is not aligning, is if there's no balance in it, you're definitely going to get burnt out. So there were a couple of things, you know, that I had to kind of go back and restructure in my business to make sure that, you know, years down the road, I can look back and say, you know what, if I choose to retire, I choose to retire. If I choose to carry on this legacy for the next 50 years, then so be it.
And with that, what makes the ideal client for you? Like, what is the best bride?
You know, just like me, when I started out, I was always about, man, I wish I could book my ideal client. Yeah. I wish I could book my ideal client. But I want to say this, before you even know what your ideal client is, you have to know what your brand is. And I think that's the mistake that a lot of wedding industry professionals are making. You know, everyone wants to book the big budget weddings. I mean, you know, who doesn't want to shoot a wedding for a celebrity and, you know, that's spending, you know, over $200,000 on their wedding? But have you even asked yourself if you can even handle that level of, you know, that level of clientele? So I say that, first of all, you have to discover what your brand is, because without knowing your true brand, you cannot define your ideal client, you know. And I always use, you know, grocery stores or, you know, just as examples, right? You have your, you know, so looking at grocery stores, you have your Target, you have your Walmart, you know, or you have your Dillard's, your Nordstrom's, and you have your, you know, JCPenney's. I mean, these are all amazing, amazing, you know, corporations that are bringing in billions of dollars, right? Just because I shop at, you know, JCPenney doesn't mean that I'm less, you know, important than someone who shops at Neiman Marcus. Exactly. But their clientele are completely different. They both understand their clientele. You can walk into Neiman Marcus and pay $500, you know, for a pair of, you know, a pair of pants, right, or a dress. And, you know, you could find a similar style at JCPenney for $100. Again, completely different clientele. So bringing it back to the wedding industry professionals, you have to understand your brand. Who are you trying to cater to? Who are you trying to market to? Once you understand that, then you can define your ideal client. You know, what does my ideal client look like? Now, I am a planner. I specialize a lot in ethnic and multicultural weddings. Yeah. That's my niche.
It's a market.
That doesn't mean that I cannot do a Caucasian wedding. Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, I do. I have done several in my, you know, in my portfolio. But that's just my niche. That's my clientele. So when I market myself, I'm not afraid to state that I am a proud African-American, you know, business owner. Oh. So you have to define yourself, define your brand. Who do you want to target to? Who is your ideal client? What do they look like? Where do they live? What do they wear? Like, what are they watching on TV? Mm-hmm. It's crazy that you ask those questions, but I'm telling you, it's so important, you know, knowing your brand to define your ideal client. And I think once you've kind of narrowed that down, because a lot of people think branding is all about having a pretty logo or, you know, having a beautiful website. I mean, that is part of it. But the way you dress, the way you communicate, the way you talk, the people you associate yourself with is all part of your branding, you know. And you'll be surprised that a lot of potential clients are looking at that, you know. People stalk you on social media. I mean, I've had clients that book me tell me that, man, Jewel, like, I've been following you on Instagram for like 3 years, or I've been following you on Facebook for like 5 years. Now, imagine if I was acting a fool this entire time. You know, so I guess, you know, short answer to say, I mean, defining your ideal client is really different for everyone, but I would say that before you can define your ideal client, you truly have to understand your brand and know your brand, and then that would really help you decide on what target market you want to kind of niche yourself to.
Wow, that really fascinates me about you, because you're someone that is a wife, a mother of two boys, and every day during a wedding, you are dedicated to making the bride as stress-free as possible. So how do you balance the work side of things, the many hours on the work side, and, you know, raising kids and having fun and having a fruitful life? How do you balance that?
It's stressful. It's stressful. But, you know, one thing about being a wedding planner, I hear so many people, you know, talk about, oh, you know, I want to be a wedding planner. And yeah. I'm like, you know, good luck to you, man. You know what I mean? You could be a really great wedding planner, or you could plan one wedding and just like give up right away. Yeah. Of course, it starts with personality, right? And, you know, I've just had such a big personality. Everyone that knows me can attest to the fact that I'm very bubbly. I'm just out there. You know, I mean, what you see is really what you get. And, you know, so number one, that's just really helped me put myself out there in that manner to where, you know, the brides or the grooms that book me can gravitate towards that.
Wow.
Another thing is, you know, everyone, it's part of my branding. Like, I don't hide the fact that I'm a family person. I don't hide the fact that I'm a wife. I'm a mom to two boys. My clients know that, you know. So it's not about, oh, I'm not going to tell people that I have kids because I don't want them to feel like I'm not going to have time for them. Because trust me, going back to that ideal client, they would respect you, they would understand you, and they will book you for who you are, you know? And so with me being a mom, you know, to two little boys and two toddlers, I mean, you know, they're not independent or anything. I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. And, you know, my husband, bless him, I definitely, you know, give a lot of credit to him because he's been very supportive throughout the process. I mean, you know, you don't go from working for a Fortune 500, you know, finance corporation, you know, I was working as an HR admin, you know, and leaving that, just walking away from that salary to not knowing where my next paycheck is going to come, you know, that, I mean, it takes a lot of trust. You know, my husband, you know, it was communication. It wasn't easy. So I'm not going to say, oh, I went to my husband and I talked to him about, oh, you know, babe, I want to quit my job. And he was like, okay, you know, whatever you want to do, I support you. No, I mean, there was back and forth conversations. I had to put numbers together. I had to show him, you know, what the potential of doing this would be. And there was also that understanding that, okay, things are going to suffer, you know. So maybe we eat out every weekend at, you know, a nice restaurant. Well, maybe now we're not going to eat out every weekend at a nice restaurant.
Wow, sacrifice.
You know, the sacrifice had to be made. You know, you can't have it all. And also when it comes down to balancing the kids, we're partners. You're my, you know, he's my spouse. I'm the wife, you know. So there are days where, okay, babe, I have night appointments this week. You're going to have to pick up the kids. Again, it's all about communication. So he has access to my calendar. So before he even makes any decision, he's looked at my calendar to know that, okay, I've got something going on that day. I can't book anything. So I think, you know, the issue that a lot of people have when it comes down to relationship and family is lack of communication. But I think that if you have that open communication with your significant other, like my husband, he's a part of Touch of Jewel. I mean, he's not just my husband at home, but he is a co-owner of this company. So everything about this company, he knows. If I'm bringing in money, he knows. If I'm not bringing in money, okay, babe, what's going on? You know, like how many clients have you booked this week? You know, how did that consultation go? Are they going to book you? And I think also getting him involved, you know, I show him a lot of things about the wedding industry. You know, he gets a chance to meet with my vendors that I work with. So they chat, they communicate. So he has a little bit of understanding about how this whole process works. And that makes him more intrigued. That makes him more excited, you know, because I make him involved in the entire process. So, you know, I think that's definitely helped out in the long run. You know, my kids, it's just one of those things where you have to set your boundaries, you know, and I struggle with that at the beginning because I would always want to put my clients, you know, ahead of time, you know, I will always want to put them first. And there's nothing in putting them first. You know, don't get me wrong. My clients still come first. But at the same time, I have to understand that if my family suffers at home, everything else is going to suffer. You know, everything else is going to suffer. So my kids, you know, bless their heart. They see me. They understand, you know, I'm away most weekends. And now they understand what I do, you know, because I told them mommy is a wedding planner. And, you know, mommy's going out there to her clients. So every time I go out and I get dressed, you know, Christian, my 5-year-old, he will ask me, mommy, are you going to your wedding clients today? Or if I come back like after a long weekend, he actually asks me, mommy, can I see some videos of the wedding? And so they're, you know, they're at their point where like they understand. And it just warms my heart so much, you know, that, I mean, I'm able to do this now. Again, you know, my daily schedule. So here goes a typical schedule in Touch of Jewel's life,
yes,
right?
Yes,
so, yeah. So I'm up in the morning about 5:30. You know, I do whatever I need to do personally, get my kids up, you know, about 6:30, get them breakfast, get them to school. Both of them are in school by 8 o'clock. A lot of times my day starts about 9 o'clock. So that first appointment, if I set a first appointment by 9, it means as soon as I drop the kids off at school,
That is true.
I'm ready to head out. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm out on the road. If I have a 10 o'clock appointment, I can come back home, get ready, and then kind of head back out. And then, you know, I want to be involved in my kids' life as much as possible because this is the prime time. So, you know, they get out of school. That's one of the blessings of being your own entrepreneur. I mean, you're very flexible with your schedule, you know, so I can set my meetings, I can set my client appointments around what time is very convenient for me. Now, it doesn't always work out the way I wanted to work out, and hence comes the support of my husband, you know. And so I pick the kids up about 3 o'clock, you know, get home, do homework. They play, answering emails, you know, and then, you know, get them dinner, get them to bed. And from 7:30 when they're in bed, it's either back-to-back, you know, consultation calls or client calls or, you know, creating timelines, creating floor plans, just basically soaked in TOJ. And then I hit the bed sometime around maybe like 1 or 2 a.m. You know, that's when I hit the bed. So, and, you know, it works out. I mean, my clients, honestly, I say that I'm very blessed because they truly understand my, you know, my purpose. I mean, they ask me like, I mean, for my brides to be asking me, hey, Jewel, how are your kids? Or, you know, if we have a planning meeting that's scheduled for an hour, the first 10, 15 minutes is talking about my family, you know, so it's just a blessing, you know, and I've been so grateful to God for just, you know, making everything work out in the manner that, you know, it's worked out so far.
Wow. And, I know you speak about, starting out and mm-hmm. telling it to your husband. What is an advice that you can tell people that are currently in that position right now?
Yeah. So, well, first and foremost, you got to do your own research. You know, you can't just wake up and have a dream and right. be like, oh, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to start doing this. You know, whether it's being in the wedding industry or just whatever business you want to own, I mean, I feel like you definitely have to do the research, right? So for me, I had spent, you know, because it wasn't until 2014 where I booked my first paid client. So from 2009 to 2014 were just, you know, time that I spent as a hobby because of something that I enjoyed doing. And, you know, it started getting to the point where I was doing it a lot more for a lot of my friends, and it was taking time away from being at home. And, you know, my husband actually was the one that mentioned it and said, you know, you love doing this thing. You enjoy doing this thing. I mean, you're always out. I mean, I barely ever even get to see you. Like, have you even thought about, you know, if you could do this as a business? And keep in mind, back in those days, I mean, I didn't even know that wedding planners existed, wow. You know, and until I got engaged in 2010 and I was like, oh, you know, let me hire a planner because I had a lot going on. I was in school trying to finish up my degree and just a lot of things going on. But then when I started to shop around for a wedding planner, it was either the price point was a lot more than I could afford because I was a college student and my husband and I were going to pay for our entire wedding, or it was just that I didn't find a lot of planners were Caucasians. You know, I didn't find someone that truly understood the culture and I felt would be able to provide, you know, services. Because keep in mind, when you're dealing with an African crowd, it's a completely different ball game. Definitely. You know what I mean? And this is not just a 100, 200 people wedding. I mean, I had, you know, about 1,000 guests over both days, you know. So as I started to look, I didn't find anyone that I felt could understand the culture. So when my husband, you know, mentioned that to me, it was kind of like a light bulb go ahead and said, you know, I was like, man, when I was looking for a planner, I can't remember finding someone that, you know, would be able to cater to planning my wedding the way I would like for them to. And so I just kind of started my research. You know, Google is your best friend. I mean, everybody can Google, you know, and just, you know, looking up like wedding planners, wedding planner income, you know, what's the career lifeline of a wedding planner? Like, how sustainable is it? You know, what kind of income do you bring in? So I started looking at those numbers. And, you know, while I found that, man, like, I have to be stupid for leaving, like, you know, my corporate job to go do this, I figured, okay, let me start off doing both at the same time. And so I started in 2014 and I planned on the side as I was also working my corporate job. That was the hardest thing ever because with my corporate job, I had to travel. So imagining having to kind of balance the schedule within my clients and also my corporate job. But that for me was a step that I had to take to really decide on whether or not this was a path that I wanted to take. you know. And I think the mistake a lot of people make is they just jump right into it. You know, you jump right into it without any expectation. You don't plan ahead of time. You don't have a business plan. You don't have a contingency to fall back on. And so, you know, when you jump in it and it's not what you expected to be, then, you know, it's either there's no backup plan for you or you quickly fall out of it and you get burnt out. So I had the opportunity to work part-time in my business for 2 years while I also worked corporate. And that did a couple of things for me. It really made me understand the wedding industry.
Yes.
It helped me be decisive of who my ideal client was, because guess what? I didn't have to settle for just anybody. You know, I had a regular income coming in. So this for me, the income I was making from my business, I was able to pour it back into my business, you know. And that was one of the best things that, you know, that worked for me, because I didn't have to dip into my corporate, you know, income. I was able to just take that and pour it back into the business. And so, you know, after about a couple of years of doing that, it just became, I was overwhelmed. I mean, I didn't realize that it was going to be in the magnitude that it was. 2016, I decided to actually do a rebrand, and, you know, I changed up my logo, changed up my branding completely. And I mean, I had booked, I think I would say that by July of 2016, I had about 18 weddings for that year, and I was still working my full-time job. And I was overwhelmed. I was stressed out. I mean, I'd already gotten all those people's deposits. I couldn't give it back to them. So I made that decision to just kind of talk to my husband. And, you know, I felt like that was the time. And I don't know what it is. Maybe some people call it intuition. Some people call it, you know, it's just a feeling. Some people call it, you know, it's where you hear God speak to you. But it was one of those where, like, I just heard it loud and clear. Like, this is it. Like, this is the direction that I need to go towards. And, you know, I'd been saving, obviously, you know, and even because my husband and I had those conversations, we just hadn't had the conversation of, okay, when are you going to go full time? So we had to sit down, look at our expenses, we had to do a budget out for, like, you know, 8 months, you know, to say, okay, we're going to lose this amount of income coming in from to the household. So what is the potential of what you're going to be bringing in based on what you've been making? What are you trending to bring in? So it sounds crazy, but those things are super important, because we were able to plan out and say, okay, in 8 months, if this stuff is not working out, guess what? I got my degree, so I'm just going to go right back to working. And, you know, we made that decision, and I am just blessed and grateful to say that I have not looked back. I mean, today when somebody asked me, Jewel, do you think you're ever going to go into corporate? I'm like, get the behind me, Satan. I mean, I am absolutely enjoying the entrepreneurial life, and it's just, you know, it's just been an amazing journey. Wow. You know, being an amazing journey. So I guess, you know, that was kind of how the transition went into place. So again, advice to people who are looking to do this, you know, I would say that if you have something that's steady right now and you're bringing in, you know, some type of income, see if you can balance both. I mean, people always say, oh, you know, you can't do multiple things at a time. No, that's a lie. You can't, you know, you just have to schedule. You have to be very good at scheduling things, planning things, and just, you know, having that mindset to be able to balance what you're doing. But start with doing both at the same time, because that would give you time to really see if this is what you want to do, if this is the direction that you want to go. And by the time you decide to leave whatever was stable for you, hopefully you would have had, you know, some time to save up, you know, where you have a rainy day savings, I guess, so to speak, where if the income is not coming in the manner that you want it to come in, you have something to fall back on. And always have a plan, backup plan. You know, if for whatever reason this doesn't go as it needs to go, what am I going to fall back to? For me, it was going back to corporate. I mean, all I have to do was get my resumes back out there and hopefully, you know, get back into the corporate world. But thankfully, that hasn't happened.
What has been your worst experience in the industry so far?
You know, that's a very harsh word. I'm a very positive person, and, you know, my workers, you know, my coordinators and assistants tell me all the time that I don't know how to be mean, but I feel like sometimes I get taken advantage of because of my personality in that way. But I don't see anything as a worse experience or a setback. I just feel like whatever happens in the time that it happens, happens for a purpose. It might be a learning experience. And yes, you know, there are a lot of things, you know, every single wedding I do, well, maybe not every single, but I would say a good 80% of weddings I do, after that wedding, guess what I'm coming back home to do? Updating my contract. My contract started from being maybe like 5 clauses. Okay. I think I'm sitting at about 29 clauses right now. You know, and that's just because I've learned so many things from each and every event that I've done, you know, positive things that I regret, or maybe not regret, but things that, you know, have been a deep learning experience for me to help me better how I service my next client, or to help me provide a better service to that next client. You know, this, with being a wedding planner, you get to deal with a lot of personalities, and you have to have a thick skin. You cannot let things bother you. And that's just one of the personality that God has blessed me with. Like, I don't know how to get upset, you know, and I'm trying to think of the word to use, but it's one of those things where I kill with kindness. Let's put it that way. You know, I kill with kindness. And, you know, you have to be very diplomatic about how you do things as a wedding planner. I take for example, you know, I've had most of my weddings now are invitation only weddings. And anyone who is African knows the challenges of having an invitation only wedding. You know, you can't ever get your parents' guests to RSVP. You can't ever get them to go online or send their RSVP cards in. So when you as a client have planned for 300 guests, and then on your event day, you know, you have 400 people show up, that's an extra 100 that's not accounted for. You know, it's an issue. And then you run into the issue where the so-called, you know, guests are all up in your face, because everyone is taking their frustration out at you, you know, out at me as a planner, out on my coordinators. And, you know, it's very easy to just say, no, you're not on the leash. We can't let you in. But we have to find a very diplomatic way. And that's one of the things of being a planner. With me, I definitely plan ahead for all of my clients. So every time they give me a guest count and we know that we're going to run into an issue where guests are not going to RSVP or respond on time, yeah, I always make allowance for that. You know, so I don't think, you know, you ever attend my wedding and find out that you don't have a space to stay. I mean, and I've learned, because there was actually a wedding I did a few years back, where it was a very, you know, the couple were, you know, they're socially out there, right? So it was a wedding that we anticipated that there is no way we could do RSVP only at this wedding, because you just know too many people that are going to show up. Exactly. And the venue that was used, you know, the venue that we ended up using was a small venue, but against my wishes, the client still went with the venue, you know, based on personal reasons, right?
Of course.
Well, I'll tell you this. The capacity of the venue was 300. We had double that show up on the day. And it was the location of the venue was, you know, was in an area where you couldn't, like, they only allowed a certain amount of parking inside the venue. So people that came were locked outside the gate.
Oh, wow.
And so here goes the venue owner coming up to me, Jewel, we've got a bunch of people out there. People are getting upset. Like, they're, you know, people are getting loud, getting upset. And I had to come out there and have a conversation with fire marshals, with, you know, police department, with the county sheriff. And we had, like, cars just backed up. So me and my staff had to, like, go from one car to one car, apologize to the guests and let them know, you know, we can't let you in, unfortunately. I mean, that was probably like one of the very interesting weddings I've ever done. You know, it was definitely a learning experience. I mean, that definitely made me change a lot of things in my policy. Sometimes, you know, there's a balance between being assertive with your clients and also kind of letting them know. A lot of times they feel like they know what's in their best interest, but as a wedding planner, it's my job to make sure that I educate you, just, you know, help them understand what is really best for them.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Thank you to Chacha Jewel for showing up today. And that's the end.